Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening to Tools for Life, the Tint podcast. In this episode, I will be having a conversation with Inge van de Vorst, relational coach and part of the Fontys psychology department. However, some people may recognize her as the Love Doctor, where she seeks connection with all kinds of people. How does connecting with other people work? How can you connect with yourself? With the holiday season coming up, these are some very important questions. We are going to explore them together and give some tips for the expectations of connections that people have with the holiday season. All info and contacts shared during our conversation can be found in the show notes. Are you ready to come along? Hello everyone, welcome to Tools for Life, the Tint podcast. I am here together with Inge, the Love Doctor. Can you explain real quick what you do and who you are?
My name's Inge, and what I do is working with people, learning about connecting. That's what I do. Everywhere I go, when I sit in the train, I'm curious, listening to how people interact. When I'm at work, I have a hybrid work. Career.
Okay.
I'm a hybrid professional, so I work in my practice. Relational coaching, so that's with people, individuals or couples who want to learn about how can we reconnect with ourselves and each other. And I work at Fontys in education, higher education here in Eindhoven, at HRM and psychology. And I work with Love Doctor, like you said, the Liefdes Doctor. That's a social enterprise that just is like a passion project that went a bit out of hand, like now is an enterprise, but it started as a way to raise money for the Red Cross.
Okay.
In 2010, around this season, it was just before Christmas, when the House of Glass, I don't know if you call it like that, but it was a serious request raising money for the Red Cross. And then I raised money with students with the topic love. So that's how it started.
So it was really a spontaneous initiative.
Very spontaneous, yes. Yes, and I thought I'm engaging my students, I'm stimulating them to put themselves out in the world with their beautiful products that they made in my classes. They had to develop workshops for relational skills and empowering people in how to relate. So then I was motivating my students, hey, you made beautiful work. Go raise money with that. And
yeah,
I thought,
right.
Then it's honest that I also stretch myself and get out of my comfort zone. So that's how this got into the world.
You're doing quite some different things then.
Well,
is it busy?
Yeah, different locations. But in fact, it's always Love Doctor work, because I'm here because I want to learn together with people about how can we learn in relating. We need each other to learn new things. In relating with yourself, for instance, you cannot read it in. You can read a book, of course, and can inspire you. But then, the skills, something you learn them by doing them with other people.
Sharing is an important part of this. This learning process.
And experiencing, so trying out new things and getting positive experience in. Maybe it's not true, the idea that I get of myself, that I'm not worthy or that I cannot trust other people. That's what I want to change. It's about attachment. Yeah.
Could you perhaps tell about some recent things that you've experienced around this topic then, or some projects that have been done lately?
Yeah, well, sure. The first thing that popped up in my mind was yesterday afternoon when I had a serious conversation with my partner in Love Doctor. It's a social enterprise, so we are two owners.
Okay.
And a group of a big group of people who are part of the collective. So it's voluntary offering to society that we do. But there's also a lot of work to do, and that's what my companion, my partner Wendy, and I do.
Okay.
And yesterday I practiced having tough conversation about things that were stuck in that were different than what I wanted or expected. And I come from someone who's very please disease-ic.
Okay, yeah.
So someone who's very afraid to not be enough and who wants to overcompensate everything and always see the beauty in other people and only blaming myself for mistakes. And now I'm practicing how to have tough conversations if you want equal relationships. It's not only the beautiful, blah, blah. It's also, I'm a bit disappointed about this, or this is what happened. I didn't like it. This is what it felt to me, or this is what I
right,
noticed.
That's part of the important reflection.
It is.
Yeah.
So yesterday I practiced that. And so that's also learning by doing. So Wendy is, in for me, a partner in learning on how to lead the social company, how to lead myself, how to give feedback that is supportive and helping people to grow,
right,
and flourish. Right.
Sounds like something that you're never completely done with.
No, never. This is for life. And I'm also very eager. I'm an eager learner. I love to read about it. Like I got some more education in polyvagal theory, for instance. That
what
is
what kind of theory would that be?
Well, that's so interesting. It's about how stress influences our behavior, but also our sensation, the way we perceive things, the things we think, and how you can So it's the autonomous nervous system that registers if it's safe or not.
Okay.
If you have attachment injuries, it is like over alert. So you feel unsafe a lot. So you have a lot of high stress. And this is about learning how to become a friend of your own nervous system. I love it.
And a friend of, is that like getting a better understanding of it, or how should I
starts with understanding and acknowledging and recognizing, oh yes, I'm high in stress now, oh yes, I am not, and my ideas about the world and myself are not very positive or open, I'm like defensive or activated or deactivated.
Right.
You were asking what was your experience, your recent experience.
Yeah.
I want to come back to that because I gave the example of my conversation with Wendy yesterday. This morning I also had every Tuesday we have our meetup, our working session. Since Corona we do that online, unless it's necessary to do it physically. Yesterday my conversation was physically, because to speak up about what's on your heart is, well...
Yeah, it was a real reflection moment.
It's better to have all the senses. But one thing that we did last year was a cooperation with the city of Eindhoven. So the year before we got into the topic of friendship, and we wanted to contribute to reducing loneliness among young people and contributing to mental health of everyone. But we were trying to focus on young people. The first time we tried that, we didn't get that much of young people in our audience. But this year we went to 10 different places. Well, in fact, we went to 12 different places to invite people to reflect on friendship and the way they are a friend themselves for others and for themselves. And we organized little events like that, and one big event in the week against loneliness. And now we had, it was full, so there were no tickets left, and,
wow,
and it was very big variety of people. So it
because
was,
what kind of places did you go to then?
We went to the Nexus.
Okay.
At the Dutch Happiness Week, we went to also to a school of primary education in Woensel. We did a whole week project there with the teachers and with parents and children, so it was fabulous. And we also went to Vitalis, that's an elderly home. So very big variety, to the library, with international women, to all kinds of places.
Right. So it was there was a lot of show up then. And
yeah, super, super, super.
What did you do in the event?
Well, I would like to do a sort of event like this with together with DTU in the future. We had a cooperation with Beate Volker. She is a professor, University of Utrecht, and she is into friendship and also social cohesion.
Okay.
And when we met online, we were video calling and we were exchanging the ideas, and we got so enthusiastic both. And then she said, yeah, there is a something that was developed in Harvard. I would like to do something like that in the Netherlands. I've never done that before, and I think it's never been done here. Would be nice. So we changed that concept into the light version, and we did that here. And we call it frietje met een onbekende, so it's eating French fries with someone you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And on the menu are four questions that you ask each other while eating your French fries together. And it was so beautiful what happened, because everyone was meeting someone they didn't know.
Almost like a speed dating.
It was like speed dating, but then with one person while eating French fries and some vegetables and having beautiful conversation.
Right, yeah.
So this, we started the evening with that, and that opened up the sphere, and then all the other activities were so more, I think the impact was bigger because we made a safe space.
Everyone had already one person they knew in the in the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
I'm talking with some people here at the TU also to maybe give it like for 2024, a lot of beautiful things can happen.
Yeah.
So if any one of you has ideas, or you know some organizations who would like to cooperate, because we often work with, like, co-creation is a very important element in our way of working as well. I think the impact was as big because we worked together with all kinds of organizations and volunteers. So it is making something beautiful together out of passion. That's magic.
Yeah, it sounds like magic. Yeah.
And then I got invited at participating in another project that is about Bildung, how to develop personal skills, personal being. Like, we don't educate only professionals. It's also nice if when you leave your university that you can have a happy life, that you know how to relate with people and how to have mental health and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's quite an important skill to have for yourself.
Very important. Yeah, and I do believe it's not only my belief, it's written in the law that it's our task to educate people also about how to be a human in society.
As an education system as well, that's a responsibility.
It is, it's in the law on education that it's our task to do that.
Wow, okay. I did not know that.
So if you're missing it in your curriculum, you can ask for it, because you're supposed to be facilitated or inspired or nurtured in how to become more you and a human being that can have a healthy life.
What are some important ingredients for that? What should be in that curriculum?
Well, the reason why I started Love Doctor, I told you how it started, but the reason why I'm for 13 years I'm offering free consultancy hours every month at the local bakery, the organic bakery in the center of the city.
Okay.
I teach people, so I would love to see that there's free education, that everyone who wants to learn about relating can learn about relating, that it is incorporated in curricula at schools. So now, where do you learn about connecting? There are some projects about mobbing and people, children that are being excluded, how to prevent that, but it's only focusing on problems. And I would like to see that there's more interest and also more facilitation for learning how to have healthy relationships and how to make more of it,
not only avoiding the bad things but also how to encourage the good ones.
So that's why also for the So the, all our collaboration with the city of Eindhoven, it is, it's the prevention, how do you call it, prevention accord. So there is a lot of organizations who signed, yeah, we want to help prevent loneliness in this city.
Okay.
And for me, loneliness, it's a human experience. It's part of the human experience.
I think everyone can relate.
We can all relate. And to me, loneliness is also a signal of your system. I would love and I need connection. So it's a longing for connection. So that's why I focus on feeding connection instead of reducing loneliness. I prefer to work for something instead of against something.
Right, that makes sense. So what kind of things can you do to encourage the opposite of loneliness, like how to encourage more social interactions between people?
What we noticed during our tour around the city is that the first, when you offer an invitation to people to share their story, people who come to activities that are focusing on loneliness, they often have a very loaded heart. They have a lot on their heart. And when you invite them, you get a lot of
unloading of that heart.
Unloading. So it can be tough to really stay present in listening. It's a hard work to get the stories.
Because those shared stories have been carried by that one person for such a long time that keeps stacking up.
It's stacking up with sorrow and frustration, and also they have been disappointed, and it's hard, and I know that it is hard. So, but when you want to change the dynamics in relationship, it's not helping to only throw your negativity on someone else who is ready to listen. There needs to be an exchange or something.
Yeah.
So what we offer is a listening ear, and we train in how to stay present when there's negativity shared with you, because I think that's also human need, that you can trust your sorrow to someone. And before, we had institutions where you could go and share a story, like all kinds of rituals for that, but we lost it a bit.
So there were these systems in place already to be able to share these kinds of experiences.
Yeah, and of course that's also what you do with friends and family. But when you have something hard to share with other people that are involved in the dynamics, it's also nice to have a place where you can be safe to share someone who's not involved in the dynamics, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So your question, maybe go back because I'm going everywhere. So you were asking, so what is needed to develop healthy relationships or friendship? And the question before was about how to develop human beings. I believe very fundamental in being a human is acknowledging I have a need for autonomy. I want to decide myself about certain things. I want to stand on my own feet. A need for connection. I'm a social being. I want to be seen. I need some attention. I want to be acknowledged as me and be known as me. So if I work at a place and I have the idea that no one knows me and I don't really know the people that are there too, I feel disconnected. I have a need for connection on that. And I believe that there can be a difference in how much you need autonomy and the connection.
It's always a balance then.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, you need to also experience that you are able to learn about it. If you only had negative lessons in love and deception and exclusion and bad experience, it's very tough to have confidence in you can learn new things. And you can heal from attachment injuries. That's what I want to share with the world.
Yeah, but that sounds like a quite a difficult step to take, to try to heal from those kinds of things?
Yeah, well, it's a bumpy road. And slow, like I said, I come from very pleased disease. I wanted to... I had fundamental belief that I'm not worthy, that there's no love for me. And I can give a lot of love, but there's no love for me. I had that like an imprint. And I'm still sensitive when I'm very under stress or things happen that I'm really... Ooh, especially with it, when it's with my partner, or for instance with my partner in business, I can recognize now my own sensations better, and I know more about what I need, and so I can get back to my equilibrium more quicker than before. I believe the thoughts now. I don't believe those negative thoughts anymore.
So it's more a new way of handling these kinds of thoughts.
Yeah, and there's a fundamental shift from I'm worthy now. I'm my basic imprint. I'm still sensitive for that, and I don't identify with it anymore.
You wow. know? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it's a different life than if you can live a life where you can sense, yeah, there's so much love in my life now. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm also thankful for the road that I took to get there, because it's also a very interesting road to get here.
A bumpy one, as you said.
It's a bumpy one. Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. But now that the holidays are upon us as well, I think many people will go back to their families and such. Is there a way that they could try to practice this in a social setting for these holidays?
Yeah, well, interesting. Yeah, beautiful question. So with the Collective of Love Doctor, we have a meeting every first day of the month. We call it the Club Avond, so evening of the club, the Love Doctor Club. And then we learn about connecting, and we also make plans for our performances when we go somewhere with the caravan to do an event or whatever. So it's like brainstorming, educating, sharing stories, but also a social activity, because we eat together before we go work together.
Okay, yeah.
And one of the love sisters said, yeah, I'm so stressed about the season with the Christmas celebration and New Year, and I don't have a partner, and I'm in my family's broken family. So I already thinking about it is so stressful.
Right, the whole, oh, when will you ever bring someone home conversation.
Right.
Classic.
Yeah. That one, yes. So there were a lot of people relating to that topic, and especially people who are single. Yeah, single.
Yeah.
And that conversation, a lot of people who are single resonated with that thought, like, oh yeah, again that question, or feeling like embarrassed or ashamed or frustrated or defensive, or yeah. So your question, how can you make it lighter for yourself or nice for yourself, is first acknowledging that it is stressful. It can be stressful. You can acknowledge that your level of stress is a bit higher than maybe before. If you know about how, what things can make you feel safe, you have access to how you can lower your stress level. So for instance, if you notice, yeah. So that's the reason why I bought myself a soup before I got here, because I was cold from biking here in the rain. And I also was a bit nervous for this conversation. So I thought, what would help me now? What would love do? Is not a way of asking yourself, what would love do? So how can you do something that's good for you and the bigger picture?
To give something to yourself.
To give something to yourself, maybe also to give someone else something. But I mean, so check in with your own needs and how to take nicely care of it.
Yeah, that like makes sense to to be a bit mindful about what you can do to improve where you are, or to give something to yourself, show some appreciation.
Yeah, I believe also appreciation, that's also a good muscle to train if you want to have a nice life. Because when you acknowledge that you are thankful for something, you're sending also information to your nervous system that you are safe. So it is making it safer for yourself. So it's a part of the brain that you can train it. You can become stronger in acknowledging the good stuff in your life. And if you notice, I'm thankful for this, you actually take it in with your breath to your heart. And that's also changing. Yeah, it changes your perspective. It's a very small thing, but it has a big difference, a big change.
I like how you say that it's something that you can train, like as if it is a muscle. It's something that you have to do to get better at.
Yeah, you can especially train it when you're not in a stressful situation. So because you train it when things are okay, and then when you are in a stressful situation, you have access to that, what you train.
Yeah.
But if you never train it, yeah, there's no way you can have access to it when you are in a stressful situation.
And then these situations become harder to handle, I can imagine. Yeah.
Because, what I said, so with polyvagal theory, that you start to believe the negative thoughts. You start to believe that you are not worthy, or the world is against you and no one can be trusted. But if you trained, I'm thankful for this or this or this, you somewhere back in your mind, you know that there are people that you can trust, or that there are things, good things happening to you as well.
How can you remind yourself of that, to be grateful for things for a moment?
Yeah, it's maybe very cheesy. I do that practice every evening when I'm with my partner, when we are in bed, just before we go to sleep, we say, what was your happy moment today?
Right, yeah.
And it's that's also a very small thing, but it changes the way you go to sleep. I go to sleep. For me, it changes a lot, because what I know very well is thinking about things that went not the way I wanted.
Right, they keep repeating themselves in your head.
Yeah. And with this one, so before I speak out, I go inside, I take it in. So what was my happy moment? So I go back to my day, and there are some positive and some negative. And this I choose this one to share. But I also recollected the other ones. So I share one. Sometimes I share them all, and then he says, okay, enough. We could sleep now.
If it was a very happy day, yeah.
So it's like I said, it sends, so it's more peaceful way to go to sleep, because you finish the things can be better next time.
You've already sorted out all your thoughts, so you don't have to keep repeating them, in a sense.
No, when there is something really bothering me, I can also notice that before I could. So, yeah, sometimes some things happen that you cannot be thankful. And it's important that you have access also to, you have the possibility to share what was not that good.
Right.
I have another tool for that too, to train yourself in releasing your stress, is morning pages. So morning pages is every morning I set the timer, and I have my diary, and I write. I put it 10 minutes or 15 minutes, 10 minutes at the moment. I write everything that crosses my mind, and I check my body, and I check my day, and the I write. And then so the blurry that is repeating itself in your head is the first thing that come out, la 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 la. And then at the end of the 10 minutes, I'm more peaceful, and I've sorted out what's important and what's just fuzz. And I have more focus on my day. So then I I'm connected with myself before I go connecting with everyone else. Yeah.
You got all the chaos out for a bit then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you read it back?
Not necessary, no. I do have them. I can read it back, but I'm not used to do that.
Okay, it's just getting it out of the system.
It's more like sorting things while writing and allowing myself to blah, 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 blah. and it makes me more focused and more aligned with myself, what is important for me. So then I notice, oh, apparently this is bothering me more than I thought.
Mm.
So then I can speak out, or I can do something to do it differently next time.
So it allows you to reflect on your own thoughts a little more than you usually would.
Yeah, I'm used to reflect a lot, but I'm well trained in having ideas about how things can become better or what's not good, not enough. And this is helping me also to see the other side. So maybe that's the third idea that I use, a tool that I use when I do something adventurous and taking social risks. For instance, with Love Doctor, it is stretching my courage. Love Doctor is for me, I dare so much more now than I dared before Love Doctor was in my life. Because Love Doctor, when I take on the jacket, I dare everything. So I think, okay, where would I like to go with the Love Doctor? I would like to go in a prison. I would like to meet people in a prison and have conversations about love matters.
That is quite bold indeed.
So then I think, okay, who do I know who could offer access to a prison? And then I ask and I share this idea and this longing. And then International Women's Day, some years ago, we were in near Utrecht, the women's prison. And we had a beautiful day, beautiful session, a table session where people sat and had conversations while making things. And I had my consultancy hour with individual people or couples that sat with me and shared what was on their heart. So
I can imagine that those stories are rather unique.
Yeah, yeah, very intense. And unique, like every story. So everyone has a unique story. And that's also with what makes me so thankful every time I have my monthly consultancy hour at the bakery. After that, I'm full of endorphin. I'm full of happiness hormones because I'm touched because people trust me their most vulnerable experiences, and I'm allowed to be their witness there and sit with them. So that's super.
I'm gonna actually take a sip of tea real quick.
That's also self-care, right? Drinking enough. So with the Love Doctor, when we go to performances, so we have a little caravan and we go everywhere, and then for instance a festival, and then there's so many people and so excited, and I'm so happy with what I do, and so I'm sitting in the caravan, and outside we have also the waiting hour and the experience there with people that are facilitating connecting with yourself and other people.
Right, yeah.
And so we used to forget to go to toilet or to have a break, to eat something or to drink something. And little by little, we learn how to better contain the space and ourselves. And
set up some boundaries for yourself, yeah, as healthy well boundaries. To take good care.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, if you're in a place like that to help people share their stories and to help them in social ways, it's also good to help yourself in that sense, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it's necessary. Last week I went with someone that I met to a workshop she offered to Mantelzorgers, so people who take care of their dearest ones.
Right, yeah, like a family member or a friend, a partner, or
a child. Yeah, yeah. And so she offered a workshop about also about happiness. And the first quote was, "Take good care of yourself, then you can take better care of others." And that's so. Yeah, if you if you neglect yourself, then you have less to offer.
You can't give it all away.
No, you cannot give from an empty cup, they say.
Yeah, fair.
You cannot pour from an empty cup, yeah. So make sure that you... So that's what we also, when we go to an event, we do a check-in with the crew. And so we, it's a learning collective. So what would you like to experience today? Where would you like to stretch something? Or what would you like to do today? And then we check in. And afterwards, we check out. So what happened? Did you get what you... What experience did you get? And what was a happy experience you got? And what, is there something that you would like to share that needs to... You would like to release on something that you experienced that was not nice? So then we... So
before starting on a day like that, you first reflect what you want to get out of such a day for yourself.
Yeah.
But I can imagine it's pretty hard to actually try to have that balanced. Do you have any advices for people listening to the podcast that wonder, hey, how can I find that balance for myself?
Yeah, well, balance is in that sense, it's so in relationships, it's important. It's from what I'm sharing now is about systemic work. It's educated in that too. There's three principles, and one principle is giving and taking. There needs to be some kind of balance in giving and taking in all relationships except the one of parents and child, because children don't need to give back what their parents gave them. They gave life, and they can never pay back for that.
Okay,
so
yeah.
For children, it's enough to be thankful. That's a good gift for the parents. A child that is, thank you, you gave life to me. That's enough.
That's a good rule of thumb, yeah.
You don't need... So sometimes people get confused, so they... And a lot of students maybe are, I see that also at Fontys, who got the message of a parent or parents, you need to do my dream that I was not able to live. But you cannot. You cannot make your parents happy. They are not. They are responsible for that themselves. You cannot do it for them. You can only take your own... Yeah, your own cards in life.
Yeah, I know a lot of students feel responsible for achieving things, indeed, for their parents. Yeah, how would you deal with that? Especially now that people are going back home to their families and such.
Yeah.
How can you deal with those expectations that your family has of you?
Yeah. So yeah, I can relate to that. And I do know that there is a lot of pressure. And I believe also, so I'm 54. I believe there's a lot of more pressure on a lot of people right now, a lot of young people. Not only by parents, but also by society, also by social media, comparing with others. And, oh, I need to achieve this because otherwise I'm not worthy.
You mean more pressure for the current generation
social
then
pressure.
As well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so maybe it's a combination about regularly checking in with yourself, like what I do with my journaling. But journaling is not maybe a way that everyone likes. So maybe you have a different one. Maybe you like to go to take yourself on a walk every day and do that by walking or something. So it's more like checking in with yourself regularly so you can get out of your head just into your being. When you are aware of, apparently I'm working this hard because I want to hear my father say, I love you, for instance, or I appreciate you, or you're good. When you recognize this motivation, it's on the other side stretching your perception of what is enough. What is enough? Because perfection is boring, I believe. I don't know anyone who is perfect. I like people, and they are imperfect.
People are flawed.
Yeah. I especially like... So when someone dies... What will you remember? You remember the fuzzy moments as well. You remember when you had a difference of view and the uniqueness of this person. It's not because they are perfect. And of course, that doesn't mean that you need to how do you say? There are boundaries in what is acceptable behavior, of course. That's the other side.
Yeah.
So maybe when family members are doing not what you like. Get checked in on what is important for you, what you would like to experience during this holiday season.
And remind yourself that you don't have to be perfect.
You're not perfect. You can never be. Don't try. Of course, I'm like I said, I'm eager. I want to develop. I want to learn. I'm working with a couple now. I'm frustrated because I cannot bring them where I would like to be able to offer them more than what I can do now. I can choose between, punish myself for not being that good. I can also be thankful for them because they offer me a possibility to become better. I'm learning with them and they are challenging me to learn. I'm super thankful and I know that the next couple will benefit from it. So if I want to become someone who has a positive impact on lives of others, I need to accept that it's a bumpy road, that there are also moments where I feel failure or not enough, and that in the basic, it is enough. I have good intentions. I am checking in regularly. I'm accountable. You can give me feedback and say, hey, Inge, stop doing this. I don't like it. I want to do better every day as well. But perfection and better is maybe different. I heard that here at the DU, I really think that's very powerful of the university, that it is opened at certain moments here in the building, that people can go here and have a meal together at certain dates. I was impressed by that. I really think this university is doing good in inclusion and also being aware of offering social space for people.
An alternative, actually, to the usual, you have to go back to the family.
Yeah.
It's not that you have to anymore.
Yeah, you have options.
So before we round up this conversation, because we've been talking for some time now, what is your New Year's resolution?
Ooh la la, my New Year's resolution. So I'm going to take myself out on an artist date before New Year. So I spend time with myself doing something I like to do at that moment. And I'm not really in touch with what my New Year's resolution is. What we do with the Love Doctor is something similar but different. It's more like I get in touch with my longing, with my, what would really be exciting to happen. If that would happen, I would really be super happy.
Right.
If it would not happen, it's okay, I'm not gonna die. But if it would happen, wow, that would be super. So I'm getting in touch with adventure or things that excite me. And that I put that on the wild card. So we invite everyone. Okay, what's on your wild card for 2024? What would be something super exciting if it would happen? If it wouldn't happen, okay, you're not gonna die. So last year, at the beginning of this year, I wrote down, so I had this image, traveling by train to somewhere abroad to learn with other people about connecting and enjoy nature. And last May, in the holidays of May, I went by train to Brussels in an international week with colleagues in education. And with a friend of mine who lives in Brussels that I hadn't seen for 5 years, we went visit the parks and with the bike and stuff like that. So I had my
the nature as well.
It just happened. So when you get in touch with your longing and you just allow yourself to put it in words or in vision or in visual aspects. I also, every Christmas holiday, I make a vision board with a collage with all kinds of pictures. And I just choose them intuitively and then I order them intuitively. And I don't understand the story. But at the end of the year, I know, this was about this, this was about that, what happened. So this Christmas holiday, I'm going to look back at the one that I made in the beginning of the year. But that's a bit how I use New Year's resolutions.
I really like this idea. It's a whole different approach. Usually a New Year's resolution, as I hear them most often, it's something that people have to force themselves to do. Like it's something that, I really want to, exactly. Yeah. While this is more of, hey, what dream could I allow myself to come
Yes, it's come about through? Permission. It's about permission, right?
That's actually where, yeah, I like that idea a lot.
Thanks. So what would you put on your wild card?
Ooh, to that's quite a question. What would it be for me? I may need some more time to think about this, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'm not into mine yet either. I know, so the sensation that we had this year with organizing a big event in the Week Against Loneliness, it tastes so well. I would like to make more of it. And I would love to do also an international event. So this one was in Dutch. We're going to do also an event in English, of international, accessible for everyone. And there is this longing that's with me for some time now. It's also to make, to find a way to put all the adventures with the Love Doctor in a form that can be shared easily to other people. And I don't know if it's going to be a video or a book or whatever, but that's also my longing list for some time.
Yeah, nice.
So if some of you, maybe you, or maybe some of your listeners are into learning about connecting and would love to go on adventures together with other people who would like to learn about connecting, we are still, everyone's welcome to come and learn with the Love Doctor.
Where can they find you?
www.theliefdesdoctor.nl.
We will put it in the show notes as well for everyone listening.
Ah, super. So yeah, like I told you, we started with collecting money for the Red Cross. So the first team of Love Doctor was also very diverse, very young. There were some students, some friends. And our youngest member of this year graduated and went back to Zealand. So... And the other members of the collective are getting or are more middle-aged and women. So if any one of your listeners thinks, I'm into stories and getting into... And I love connecting. I love to learn about connecting. And I would like to have a community where I can learn with other people and come together every month and have a new relationship, friendship, or other connection. So enlarging your network. Let me know at 112@theliefdesdoctor.nl.
All right. Well, that's a good takeaway message, I think. Then I don't have to close off with my wild card for the upcoming year. I can still take my time to think about
that. I'm curious, though. Tell me.
You know what? I may send that in as well, then, cool. Once I think of it.
Cool.
And I want to thank you a lot for this conversation.
You're welcome. And it was a joy.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. And for all the listeners at home or wherever you are, thank you for listening in as well. And see you at the next episode.
Yeah, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tools for Life, the Tint Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the Tint Podcast and find more information about what Tint is up to on our website, tint-eindhoven.nl, or by following us on Facebook and Instagram. If you are interested in what Love Doctor Inge does, make sure to check the show notes and reach out. My name is Casper de Bruin, and I look forward to having you with us for the next episode. Oh, and just between you and me, I think my New Year's resolution will be to take some more days for myself and not feel guilty about them. What about yours?